Your music.
Your music.
Your life.
On the radio.
This is
North Sound 1.
Hi and welcome to this North Sound 1 Europa League podcast. I'm John Mellis. Joining me for this one, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. And I have to say, we begin unusually for this episode with an apology. Last week on this podcast, having previewed and researched the Croatian team thoroughly, our expert assessment was that we'd be doing extremely well if we kept the tie alive for the second leg. So sorry, we were way off.
We were.
Sorry, we're no sorry.
No, absolutely not sorry. I've got to blame Derek McInnes. He was the man that kept on saying, keep the tie alive, and then he put a side out there that absolutely blew the Croatians out of the water. So it's all down to Derek.
But it's also important, I think, and Derek will want to, there to be a real full house next Thursday.
Okay, who had 30 seconds of the sweeper?
Because, they are, as the manager said, I mean, privately, I think they think they're out. I think we think we're through, but they are a good side, and they'll have to come to Pretoria. And it should be an entertaining game, because they have to come and really not behave like a side away from home normally in a cup tie. So they'll be coming all out, and that will leave plenty room for the Dons on the counter, which they are very, very good at. And last night, three fantastic breaks.
This is the man that normally goes for 5-0 against the likes of Celtic at Parkhead. You know,
I didn't go for it. I didn't actually make a prediction for last night.
Just as well.
Yeah, maybe I might have got it right for once.
I think in last week's podcast we said best case scenario, maybe we might nick an away win, like a 1-0, but most likely we would happily take a draw. I think we said
it would give our right arms for a draw. Yeah. But after 20 minutes, we probably would have done that. Yeah. I mean, Dave was there. You saw what it was like. I watched the TV pictures coming in, and they looked a very good side and could easily have scored a couple of goals early on, which would have changed the whole dynamic of the game. But the water break, I think, came at exactly the right time. Derek got the troops in about, sorted a few things out, and after that, Aberdeen totally dominated. That was as good an away performance from an Aberdeen side as I have ever seen.
Yeah, I was asking Craig Brown in commentary, where does it rank? And I think Craig agreed that this, not even just Aberdeen, but in terms of Scottish teams in Europe, given the circumstances, given the recent history, given the fact that they hadn't lost their last 12 European games at home, and that was only their second defeat in something like 56 matches
at that stadium.
So, but it's not, they weren't just beaten. They were at the end, they were absolutely annihilated in that second half. Aberdeen just got stronger and stronger, and they resorted to fairly desperate tactics to try and break down. But you've got to say that their fans stayed with them right to the end. And, the manager made the point in his press conference after that they were still trying to get their team to make Aberdeen answer some questions. But I'm afraid the guys on the park weren't as good as the fans off the park. And it's very unusual to be applauded off by, when you've won against a team, to be applauded off by the vast majority of the home fans. And that's exactly what happened. And I think that's testimony to the fact that they're football fans, and they appreciated the best team by a distance won in the night.
I picked up some tweets actually from some of the fans, and it seems to echo that. You know, here's one here. It says, congratulations Aberdeen fans, you put on a brilliant display tonight, reminiscent of your golden era. The loss came as a bit of a shock to us. We had high hopes for yet another good season in Europe, but you guys were the better team and more than earned this great victory. I wish you best of luck domestically too. Keep the pressure on Celtic going strong. Cheers. And that's actually from one of their fans out there, and it's got 134 likes.
Yes. And there's been quite a few like that. And there was a fairly substantial police presence at the ground, but the atmosphere was actually, it wasn't as hostile as I feared it might be, but it was actually a very good atmosphere, and they were just getting behind their team. And a lot of the Aberdeen fans that were out there were saying that the Rijeka fans were coming up to them and congratulating them at the end, and it just seemed to be that kind of night. It was a very, very special night, and Derek was quite reserved, and as he always is in his press conference afterwards.
Before cartwheeling down the corridor.
Well, exactly. I think privately he must know that is right up there, both as a performance from him as a manager, and also the players, because there wasn't a failure from goalkeeper Danny Ward right through to the last sub that came on.
Yeah, we'll come on and sort of pick out a few of the players' performances in just a minute or two. You mentioned, Andrew, you felt that it changed, and we said this before we came on for the podcast today, that you thought that it had changed as a game after that water break. What do you imagine Derek McInnes said to the players that made the change in the water break?
To be honest, I'm not really sure, because they played really well, and they are technically very, very good players. There's a lot of international players in that side. Maybe a lot of them do have one or two caps, but they've been good enough to play for their international sides. And I think it was maybe just to calm things down and make sure that, because it was a different formation, everybody knew exactly where they were supposed to be and what they were supposed to be doing. But whatever it was that he said, it worked. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter. We can conjecture to our heart's content as to what he may have said, but whatever did come through to the team, it worked perfectly, because that was as good an away performance as you could possibly wish for. I mean, you're playing in a foreign atmosphere because it's extremely hot, and you're up against a side that is very, very good on their own patch, and, you know, there's been a lot of good sides have gone there and haven't come away with a result, and Aberdeen have just blown them out of the water. It was incredible. I mean, you really were having to pinch yourself to believe, you know, are we 3-0 up? And I was constantly checking my phone just to make sure that I hadn't nodded off and started dreaming or something like that.
Happens all the time.
Sometimes during commentary, which is a little bit difficult.
But no, it was just a joyous night to be an Aberdeen fan, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. I got into trouble in our house because I woke the kids up.
Cardinal sin, John.
Yeah, no, I woke the kids up, but my wee boy was delighted when I did so. Now, the thing is, one of the items of the night that stood out for me, and I just think it's possibly the catalyst for what will be an excellent season for Kenny McLean. If there's one thing that we've been saying about Kenny McLean, is that he needed a goal, and what a goal
it was. It would have been so easy to blast that. Okay, he'd only the keeper to beat, and it was, and I think also make mention of David Goodwillie's foresight,
yeah,
in that goal. It could have been easy for a striker to just try something himself, but he saw that Kenny was in acres of space. Delightful wee chip, and Kenny's left foot is a sweet left foot, caught it absolutely flush, and you know, the keeper, who I wasn't overly impressed with throughout, he had no chance with that one. It was a fantastic goal to open his Aberdeen account, and I think that's that monkey off his back, and we'll see the real Kenny McLean this season. And we know, having watched him as a opposition player, exactly what he's capable of.
The other goals as well, let's just look at those. The first from Andrew, and I said to you earlier, Andrew, you noticed that it was really hot when you saw Andrew Constantine running away from the goal and his hair had melted.
Yes.
Usually it's coiffured to perfection.
Absolutely.
But it was just drenched in sweat. He rose fantastically well for that. Keeper flapping again.
Yeah, but it was a really well-worked corner, because everybody came in, everybody went back out again, that completely threw the defenders, and then back they came in again. Perfectly delivered ball from Niall McGinn. Yes, the goalkeeper Vargic flapped at it, but great header from Andy, and I don't think if the keeper had been on his line he had any chance with it. It was perfectly timed, and that look of just pure joy in his face when he scored, he'll be thrilled to bits. It's his first competitive goal in Europe, and it couldn't have come at a better time, because it was, what, 7 minutes from half time. At a time when you were thinking,
you could argue the run of play, really.
Yeah, you were thinking, let's just get through to half-time at nothing each. Give the manager another quarter of an hour to get into the boys and make sure that everybody knows what's happening. But to go in 1-0 up, that was a bonus. And then, of course, you know, it was only 7 minutes into the second half that we got the second one. But between Andy's goal and half-time, of course, Peter Pollitt had won this allowed. It was offside.
You could see that from the cross, actually.
You knew that from
the start.
But it was really well worked. Johnny Hayes, who I thought did it extremely well as left wing back once again. It shows the versatility of the squad, that you've got an out-and-out left back, Graham Shinney, playing in midfield, and Johnny does every bit as good a job tackling wise, winning headers and getting himself forward. It was a great cross from him. Peter unfortunately just hadn't timed the run quite right, but it was an excellent header. But then,
and a great dress rehearsal for the goal that came.
Absolutely. So you know,
which we suspect might actually have been a sniff offside as well.
I think the assistant referee was ball watching rather than looking along the line, but hey, we're quite happy to take that. And really good to see that, you know, the people at Bankery must have been thrilled last night.
Yeah, the first couple
of goals come from boys from Bankery.
I think also the disallowed goal actually it's set them thinking just how, and also both their fans and the team, how easily their defence was breached, because I wasn't impressed with their defence at all, and you could see by the tactics that that was something that the manager had been working on, really, the two centre-backs in particular, because David Goodwillie was rumbling them up throughout until he was replaced by Adam Rooney. So, no, just one of these great European nights that there were times we thought we would never witness any more of a few years ago, but great time to be an Aberdeen fan right now.
Quick word for another couple of parts in the team, as suspect as their defence were, ours were pretty rock solid, really, weren't they?
The three at the back, Ash, Paul Quinn, and Andy, they were just... And the thing was that they didn't seem to be able to change their tactics. They continued to play right into the hands. These three supported, they were mopping up everything, supporting Danny Ward, who had an excellent game as well. To me, it was just, I'm no football tactician, as well you boys know. It just seemed that they only had, they were a one-trick pony in terms of how they were trying to reach the defence. And
that was the slightly disappointing thing about them, I think. Technically, they looked very good, but there was a complete lack of invention. The skipper, Sciarbini, looked bright early on in the game, and it wasn't just the sort of blonde mop on top of his head. The Brazilian guy, I don't know where he bought his passport from, but he doesn't look a Brazilian footballer, I'm sorry. I mean, I know Craig Brown knows a footballer, and he couldn't see anything to say good about that guy. The striker up top, he didn't do an awful lot. That was the disappointing thing. I think technically very good, but as Dave said, you know, no invention, no plan B. You know, you'd have thought they'll realise if you're going to keep on lumping high balls and on top of a 6'3" centre half who wins everything in the air, let's change it. The one change they did try to make was knock it a wee bit wider, but they found Shea Logan was winning everything in the air. Johnny Hayes was winning stuff in the air on the other side. So they just didn't... They never got round the back of us, apart from the time that the boy Tomasov hit the post in the first half.
And really, he should have buried that. And if he had, we may have been looking at a completely different scenario. But I thought Danny Ward, in particular, in those first 20 minutes, he played a huge part in making sure that we kept a clean sheet. So not all good, but still, let's not get too carried away. You can be sure the manager is, as already said, he'll be preparing from now onwards until next Thursday, and he will not be sort of considering the tie over until it physically is over.
I
think it'll be interesting to see how they approach it, because you were saying that you got the impression from them last night that they think that the tie is dead.
I think the manager thought it was dead, and also some of their journalists speaking to them, they certainly think that that's it. You know, basically congratulating Aberdeen for going through, and their fans obviously
took the phone up and said, look, we're not coming across.
Well,
first
that's what Craig actually, after we'd finished commentary, says, I wonder if they'll actually appear next week. that'd be interesting.
The thing with it is, how does Derek now set out his stall for this Thursday's game? What do you do differently than you would otherwise have been planning?
I think you still start at nothing each again.
Yeah,
That's the only way to go about it. Ignore the fact that we're 3-0 up, because if they come with the attitude, hey, we're sitting at 0-0, the same as we were at the start of last night, that I think that's the only way to approach it. Don't go in thinking, well, let's keep it tight for the first 20 minutes, then we can play fancy down football or anything like that. That's not Derek McInnes's way of doing it. So there's no chance of that happening. But I think he'll just say, right, boys, start all over again. Let's go out and beat them once again.
And if you're the manager of Rijk and you come across here and you have thrown the towel in, do they just turn up and make up numbers, or will they actually come and have a go, do you think?
Well, it'll be interesting to see, because scoring four, which they need to do to go through, or three to get it into extra time, is such an unusual these days against anyone. You only had to look at West Ham against the Maltese Cup winners, you know, a last minute goal to take them through at home, or to get the win at home last night. So there's two scenarios. He could come and try and get an early goal to try and put, you know, a wee bit
amongst
of doubt amongst Aberdeen, or he could actually consider it a damage limitation exercise and you know, because the downside of going all out attack is you're leaving yourself equally open, particularly when we're at home. So it will be interesting to see how it goes. I think certainly from his press conference last night, I think he feels it's too big a mountain to climb, so they may just go through the motions. But you know, the Dons, I think, like Andrew, I think Derek will be, he'll take it as a 0-0. If we get another goal, then I think they'll definitely shut up shop, because, you know, that is the tie well and truly over. And there's every chance we could get a goal, because whatever way, they can't just sit deep and put men behind the ball. They have to, if they're going to try and get anything back, they have to put plenty of their forward-thinking players on. But to be honest, since they lost the lad to Leicester last season, they don't seem to have anyone that they feel they can rely on to get them out of hole. And it was the same in their opening league match, where they were criticised for 0-0 after being on top in terms of possession and shots on target, but still didn't manage to get the opener.
Derek concentrating on the second leg then, and not going any further than that. But we can afford to. We can look ahead and speculate as to what might be. The teams that we could be coming up against, one is from Armenia. That's a team that played St Johnstone in the previous round, and the other is from Kazakhstan. So no doubt you'll be looking at your Mankini, Dave.
I will certainly not be looking out anything like that.
Good news, fans. Dave is not looking out his Mankini. That tie ended last night 3-0 as well. You would expect that the Kazakhstani team will go through. What do we know about them, if anything, at this point?
We just know that it's a hell of a long way away from Aberdeen. Yeah.
Stuart Duff played for them.
Those are the ones that had the sacrifices on the pitch before the game. Mm-hmm.
So unusually, if we play them, we've got a player who's played for both clubs,
it actually works out really well, because Stuart's going to be able to give Aberdeen a lot of information about, you know, the way they play, what the place is like, what to expect when you go out there. So it's like having a spy in the camp, having Stuart Duff there. So I'm quite sure that he will be in at Pittodrie, passing on the knowledge that he can about Kaira Almaty. It is a long, long way away. It's almost
so about
5,000.
an eight hour.
It's according to our travel partners, seven hour plus journey.
Yeah.
So you would imagine, if that is the scenario, it would be leaving a day earlier and probably having to stop for refueling as well.
Right. Okay.
What we know about them as a team, they are second top of the Kazakhstan Premier League at the moment. They won 3-0, as you said, against Alashkert, who beat St Johnstone. So you've got to assume that they are going to go through. But we don't know what the relative strength of the Kazakhstan Premier League is vis-a-vis the Scottish Premier League. That's where Stuart Duff will be of immense help to Aberdeen, I'm quite sure. Mm. He'll know how to get information about them. He will have lots of knowledge of them. Never mind all the contacts that Greg Thompson and Derek McInnes and Tony Docherty have that they'll be able to tap into. I'm quite sure that although they won't be looking any further ahead than next Thursday's second leg, the preparation work will be going on in the background for a visit to Kazakhstan.
And I think also preparation work for the Armenian team as well, just in case. You know, so
the fact that they played St Johnstone.
Yeah, so I think
Tommy Wright will be able to help Aberdeen, because in scenarios like that, you know, club rivalries go out the window. We're all representing Scotland in these competitions, so the clubs all help each other.
I want to end this in the way that we started, where you mentioned Derek McInnes will want as many fans along to Pittodrie on Thursday night as possible. Is that roughly what you said?
Yeah, I think we should try and make it as near to a sellout as we possibly can. I think the fans will, because the fans get enthused about results like that, and they'll want to see, you know, their team. It'll also do wonders, I'm sure, for season tickets as well for the doubters. They're already over 10,000, and that can only continue to go in.
That's 10,000 season tickets, not 10,000 doubters.
Yes, and there probably is 10,000 doubters.
We hope buy season tickets. But
so I think it will be a good atmosphere at Pittodrie. Not sure how many fans they'll bring over. Word is that they're only bringing a couple of journalists over, which again I think is indicative of the feelings that the tie is already gone, and it should be. Let's make no bones about it. When you win 3-0 away from home in the first leg, you should be it would take a real sort of slip up to not go through.
Do you remember Zalgiris Vilnius?
Certainly
4-1
yep.
away from home. They travelled overnight.
Why does he do this?
But that's what yep. can potentially happen.
Yep.
They travelled by bus from London, and we were laughing at how unprofessional they were and thinking this could be double figures. It nearly was for them because they won 3-1 and we were hanging on like grim death near
yeah,
the end.
Yeah. But to get back
20
to
20 minutes into a podcast where we've won 3-0 the night before against a team ranked 150 odd places above us, and you bring out the team that almost beat us in the return leg.
But they didn't. That's the thing. They didn't beat us. But to get back to the crowd next week, I hope there is a huge crowd turns out, because let's face it, the Dons deserve that type of backing. That was a fantastic result last night, and I hope that the Red Army appreciate that and get along and show their thanks for that result next week.
Good place to end it. Let's talk no more of Vilnius teams and hope that we can get a win on Thursday night. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Hopefully we'll see you in the next round for a preview of a Kazakhstani trip for Dave of 8 hours or thereabouts. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Your music. Your life. No Sound One.